Podcasting 2.0 for December 18th, 2020, episode 16, and we're in the fourth quarter, baby. I've got to add the little baby to it. It is Friday once again, time for a board meeting of podcastindex.org, reviewing the week's happenings in podcasting 2.0. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and now the man who put Frederick's podcast on the map, Mr. Southern Bread himself, Dave Jones.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Have you been YouTubing?
Tell me. Yeah, I've got a complete new direction for the show. We're going to fix this show.
And we're going to start by saying, hey, guys.
Yeah, so we're going to turn this into a six-figure podcast overnight. Start with, hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Yes.
And then 5 minutes of talking inside baseball just about stuff that people don't understand.
About ourselves.
Yeah. Then 10 minutes of talking about what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
And then an ad roll.
Mid-roll.
Mid-roll. Yeah. Then the content, which only maybe 5 minutes of content. And then ask a bunch of times for people to subscribe.
Yeah.
We can't really point to the bottom of the screen because it's audio.
Smash that subscribe button, guys.
Yeah, smash the subscribe button. You got to do that at least 10 times.
If I might say, asking people to boost the podcast on Sphinx Chat is not much different from asking to smash subscribe.
It's in the same league.
It definitely is. Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. I'm feeling good. This is a good Friday.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
It's just the two of us, no guests.
Yeah, it's hard to catch up when we have a guest, and because the guests are hanging because I don't have a production assistant who could dial them in when appropriate. So I'm very aware they're just sitting there listening along, going, okay, when is it our turn?
Oh, geez, who sang that song? Just the two of us. Just
Bill Withers. Bill Withers.
Okay. That's right. I was thinking in my head. I was thinking Billy Ocean.
No.
That can't be right.
The fabulous Bill Withers. He passed away this year.
Yeah, was it March or something like that? March.
During the Rona, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was posting old pictures of him, like from the 70s,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's a good looking man right there.
Well,
Bill Withers was he had it going on.
He was a 70s kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He had it all going on, exactly.
What's up with you?
Well, things are good. It's been really busy with no agenda, obviously, just, tracking all the stuff that's happening right now. But in the meantime, I made a very brave move and decided to really give Graphene OS, a go as my daily driver.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that. Cause you were texting me saying this is great.
Yeah, so there's only one it's loaded. One of our producers loaded this on a Pixel 2. Now I had replaced the battery, and I knew that the previous battery was completely crap. It would run down in like 45 minutes. And I had the battery replaced. I shouldn't say I replaced it. I had it replaced because it has to be cracked open. And I think they even had to replace. It wasn't worth it in the long run to replace the screen and get a new battery. And it works.
It never works right. It works right, but when you crack a phone open and have to like re-glue it and all that jazz, it never fits back together exactly the way it did from the factory.
Well, since I didn't have it from the factory, I can't speak to that.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
But the battery still runs down pretty quickly, and it didn't because I had this thing in the drawer just, laying around. I'd messed around with it, and I decided, I'm going to give it a real go. I'm going to customize it. I'm going to install stuff, see if it'll work. And I am blown away by how fast it is, how intuitive some things are, much more intuitive than iOS. And for the first time, I can really use some of the web apps, the progressive web apps, that are podcasting 2.0 compliant. Not that I couldn't use them on iOS, but now you play it and you just put it in the background or you lock the device and it keeps playing. That's really nice.
What size screen is it? Because I've never had a Pixel.
I don't know. It's not too big.
Is it a big one?
No. It's the size of the iPhone 7, actually. It's just a little bit bigger than that.
Oh, that's a good size. I hate the gigantic.
No, I had those, and it's you know, it doesn't work out. It's like and after you've had a smaller phone for a while, and you put one of those big ones in your hand, you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Why did I ever want this?
Especially if you have to take a phone call, it's like holding a laptop to your head.
Yeah, an iPad, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's really been pleasant to have. Yeah,
but you can't hook it up to a screen, though, right? You said you have to get like a. You said you hook it up to like a monitor.
Yeah, so it has full on keyboard and mouse support out of the box through Bluetooth, which is very interesting. I use the K9 email app, which is, you know, is open source, has been around forever, but it has all the key commands, the shortcuts already pre-programmed. So you hit R, it goes to reply. You know, even Alt Tab works if you want to switch between applications. It's surprisingly good. Yeah, it's really
that's wild.
It's quite cool. And so in the 3 and the 4, and I guess the 5, but the graphene has not been adapted for the 5 yet. Nor do I want a 5G handset. Apparently, the HDMI out works, and they have floating windows. So you can drag windows around on your secondary monitor.
On a phone? That's
I mean,
bizarre.
Now you're getting very close to what I was trying to do with a Linux phone. Because, you can, there's all kinds of apps that give you command line, and I guess it's some really minimalistic Linux install. And you can get some stuff working, you know, so we'll see. It's fun.
And even if you used it for just a remote, like if you had another machine set up. Yeah, let's just say you had your desktop running as a cloud, you know, like a VM in a cloud somewhere, and then you just used it to like remote access into that thing from wherever you were.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I already have that. I have a remote machine that updates automatically with whatever I have on my Linux laptop. Mm-hmm. And that works really well. So you just, you know, you're outside, just SSH in, good to go. That works surprisingly well. And what was beautiful is within 1 week after speaking about some features that I would love to see from all of our apps, Martin had already integrated my top two, which was a latest episodes, which is working beautifully. So I don't have to, you know, I can see what podcasts have updated. He kind of already had that. But now, hey, here's all the new episodes in chronological order. That's very handy. And the share... Mm-hmm. Share with the time code, and today we discovered that he didn't even know about the share panel that apparently can be accessed with, I guess, some CSS or something. So it's really becoming an incredibly functional app, because now I have all the things I want, I think everything that Overcast does, and of course Overcast, I don't have it on this phone, and so right now Podfriend is looking pretty good.
So it's a PWA, so you can just pin it right to your home screen like a regular app.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. In fact, I have a little folder of all of the 2.0 because each one has something a little different. Mm-hmm. So I like Podverse has a lot of clips.
I got a clip from Podverse today.
Which one is it?
It is. Oh gosh, what. Why'd you ask me? It's the one that's, I think it's clip. Does it say something about dynamic ads? Clip one, maybe.
Podcasts are cool.
I like it. That's not necessarily the one, but who are these podcasts? And Mama Knows. Oh, Mama Knows Best Ads.
Here no, it's not. No, it's not that one. It's the other one.
Oh, okay.
It's what are these podcasts? That's it.
All right. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Insane. They also, of course, have tons of advertising. The advertising is off the charts on the show. What am I missing?
You know, it's funny you talk about the advertising, because I don't know if you listened to the Cats episode. Maybe you did. Maybe
I did.
You didn't.
I did.
It's nearly 2 hours long.
Yes.
So they play these little stingers when ads will play, and I'm wondering if they might be in trouble, because listen to what they left in this show. Play my number 12. They have two ad breaks.
Can I just bring up one thing here, too? Hot air balloon. Let's get to the questions here from the crowd, because
I'm glad.
You could edit that stuff out. Like, I don't understand.
I'm glad you picked up on this, because I'll tell you what's happening here. This is a newer phenomenon that we're going to see more and more as we start to review these shows. Mm-hmm. What the feed that you get is different than the feed that I get. I listened to it through my app, and that was what I heard as well. And then I downloaded it from Apple Podcasts in order to clip it, and there was an ad in there. It's dynamic insertion. So they're putting in timestamps, and then if there is an ad to serve to somebody based on who you are, they'll put an ad in there. If there isn't, that's really a weird, obnoxious thing where it's just like this empty ad spot.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder who's selling that. I wonder who's doing the dynamic insertion.
I don't know. It wasn't clear from what they were saying, but like you can see the danger of putting a stinger on either side of your ad roll, and then there's no ad. It's just like this, like mentally jarring thing. You're like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this, and you know, the conversation is everywhere. Is there a way that we can do anything with the index to make this easier, or to benefit anybody who wants to do ads? I don't want, if there's a way for the index to help, if there's something that can be provided that would make stuff easier, and I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I don't want ads. The whole idea of Bitcoin Lightning is perpendicular to that, but I want to stay open to being able to help. Was there something about stats? Was there something you were telling me that was going on about stats?
Yeah, I'd been telling you that I had had conversations, a couple conversations this past 2 weeks with some hosters, and they were both just expressing frustration about stats, about just the whole IAB process, and how difficult it is and how stupid expensive it is.
That's how it works. That's the Nielsen model, is come up with the standard, get everybody to buy in, and then have them pay you to be a member of the standards group, that so you get the reports, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally what this is. And you, if you're a host of any size, you're paying well into five figures. I don't know how high that goes.
Is it based on your, how do they base that?
I really have no idea. And, you know, I don't want to give any real,
we can't even ask any of our hosting buddies about this publicly, because I'm sure it's all sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. the guys I was talking to was like, it's just kind of, the whole thing's a little bit disconcerting because for what you get, it's like what you get for the money is kind of not. I'm not throwing IAB or any of that stuff. I mean, I don't know even enough about it. I'm still making my way through the IAB spec. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not going to speak competently enough to criticize or anything like that. But, you know, we know already, so I'm coming at it from a couple of standpoints. We know from recent experience that standards bodies and working groups and podcasting are slow roll, and they never get much accomplished.
Yeah, it's laborious.
Seems fairly obvious.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think there's a very good reason for that. It's whenever you put together a standards body, and especially when there's money involved, a lot of money involved, and there's memberships and all these sorts of things, there's a natural tendency for gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start gatekeeping, you have older established players that are in that market that are usually the ones who are on these boards and these working groups.
And they are experts at gatekeeping.
Experts in every field. This is not just podcasting. Every industry is this way. And once you have a group of sort of old established gatekeepers that are running these nonprofits and these working groups and that kind of thing, there's really not that much impetus for progress, because they're kind of steering the ship. And so the sort of younger and more and smaller and more aggressive competitors in that, in whatever market that's in, they're always going to want to move faster.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't, you know, because the sort of whales are driving the ship. And so I think, I mean, podcasting is prone to that, just like every industry is. There's going to be large, you know, working groups that take forever to make decisions. I mean, you know, with the namespace, we're halfway to phase two already. And that's something that probably would have taken a working group, you know, 5 years.
Well, no, it took working groups multiple years and it didn't happen. And I've been told in confidence, so I don't want to bust anybody, but it'll be news eventually, that another large podcast host is going to jump on board and support all of the namespace tags.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, that's the kind of stuff where...
We already have almost 100,000 feeds out there in the wild that are supporting the namespace tags. So if another big host jumps on board, I mean, that's just, you're talking about momentum rolling.
Exactly. And then it's up to any podcast developer, whether you're doing a progressive web app or whether you're Apple. And honestly, Spotify, but I don't think they're that nimble. They're trying to figure out the ad stuff, make that all work, trying to get the audience side working. Which brings me back to my community features, because that's where we're going to crush it once we have that figured out.
Too.
We can really, really crush it if we can figure out how that would work.
Did you see that? Did you read that article? Has independent podcasting peaked? Did you read that?
I skimmed it. The minute I saw it, I was like, what's the gist?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably what you think.
Go to the money. Go to the money. Don't be independent.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It really isn't. It's more, something that caught my attention was he says in here, and the podcasting ecosystem has enormous strengths. It's open, it's flexible. It could easily become interactive. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it interactive, Lightning or whether it's just something as simple as chapters and all that kind of stuff. The interactivity has always been there. It's nice to see somebody, you know, write that in print in a way that's clear.
Did I see someone on Podcast Index post about some idea of sending input data from one app to the other?
I think if you're talking about exporting, but like where you are in a podcast, if you've listened to 13 minutes of this podcast and you switch to a different app, it would pick it up. Yeah.
Well, if we have that, how does that mechanism work?
I have no idea.
Well, I think it can work.
You just got to figure it out, you know?
Well, somewhere we're going to need services, correct? We're going to need a service. Mm-hmm. If you want to have community chapters that can be input to from any app, you're going to need some service that does something in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Linkers, link services, like glue.
Hey, wait a minute.
Services that glue things together.
Oh, okay. I had a brain fart. Here you go.
All right.
Daniel J., pay attention. Isn't this something that would be new, that would make sense to create some kind of standard? Maybe it's a tag, I don't know, but it's a community server. And maybe this community server is no more than, here it comes, a JSON file. that has pointers to a whole bunch of different things. So, for instance, I believe it would be incredibly simple. This is Adam's dumb thinking. If I had a web app, a podcast web app, I would probably fire up an IRC server, which, you know, I have a lot of experience using them, not setting them up and not running them, that could literally have a different channel for each individual podcast. And there's so much web code available for IRC that you could easily create, or someone could host themselves, an IRC server that you tie every single app into. And that could be referenced or, you know, whatever data you need that might come from one external JSON that is like third parties, third services or something. We need a way to communicate how to tie into something that can make this functionality happen. So whether it's an IRC server or a Sphinx chat tribe, it shouldn't matter. The feed something should be able to tell an app, okay, here's how we do chat.
Oh, okay. So you're like across.
I threw in all the JSON crap just for effect, but because you don't really need it.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
I think I do.
IRC is the simplest. Anybody can set one up. You can rent them everywhere. You can set it up on a crappy ass box that runs on $5 a month. And it's universal interface into it, which any app developer can modify. I mean, for me, I mean, and you know, it has registration. There's all these benefits to it.
So on that, I know we're getting off any sort of topic, but I don't understand why Slack took over IRC. I mean, Slack is basically IRC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I really just don't understand why Slack became what it is when UX. IRC does everything
UX.
It does.
UX. It's all the user experience. I mean, why did Follow take off over Subscribe? You know, yeah. It's better. It's just a much better understanding. Oh, I get it. I'm following that. When, of course, you're actually doing something completely different.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, I think what you're talking about is this ability for multiple apps to coordinate their experience, their podcast user experience
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
So that I know as app B, you know, as I know as Podverse,
mm-hmm.
I can somehow look at this feed and see that Podfriend, as Podverse, I can look at the feed and say, okay, their chat server's here.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Podfriend can also look at that feed and say that chat, you know, the chat server's there.
Exactly.
And they can both be feeding back to the same thing from within the app.
Yes.
Okay.
And if anyone needs me to set up an IRC server to test this, you know, let me know. I mean, I'm just saying that it's universal. I mean, all of these chat type apps have a form of webhook into it. So, you know, you can always create an interface around the functionality as long as, and maybe it's a tag that has to be, or that should be in the system. But that's why I'm saying maybe we do need some kind of, well, I don't know what belongs in the feed and what doesn't. I don't know how that works. Some things are in there. Some things aren't.
All these things have protocols. Call schemes anyway, so it's like IRC // whatever,
right,
you know, and that tells you, okay, it's an IRC server, or if it's
gotcha.
Maybe Sphinx chat /, you know,
uh-huh.
That just that data in a link could tell you what you need.
Okay, well, something like that
link back,
you know, I could mm-hmm. see that being and that's just one, that's one step, you know. Now you've created a connection between all these apps. Now you've created something that Apple and Spotify probably will never do. I just don't think that they can do anything they want, but I don't think they'll ever focus on that. For No Agenda, there's the troll room, noagendastream.com. And that's just a really bad page that I just created with the Freedom Controller. There's nothing there and just has a link. And you can open up a web interface to the chat room and it has a little player for the live stream. So it's no different. You know, just take that code or take that pointer to that IRC channel and log them in.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that chat rooms have become like an integral part of a lot of podcasts. So I don't see that it's necessarily such a stretch to have some sort of tag for that. Cause you've like, I mean, I can probably, there's probably five I can name off the top of my head that have chat rooms. And if you had some, you know, I guess if you get to a certain size and you want to have a chat room, you just spin up an IRC somewhere and then you just stick it in your feed. I don't know where it would go or how it would be present, but it seems like a good deal to me. I mean, it seems like a worthwhile thing to me.
All right.
At least you have everybody, because there's IRC apps on phones. So yeah. You have, you know, if you tap the little chat room link on your podcast app, it could kick you over to the IRC chat for that room.
And here's another Adam Curry idea. If you are an IRC app developer, consider baking some podcast into your IRC app. You can reverse the process.
And some Lightning, too.
Yeah. Well, on the Lightning end, this is for streaming payments, streaming value for value. Mm-hmm. We've had some interesting preliminary conversations, and I think what we're going to wind up with, I don't know the time frame or whatever, is a way to lightningify almost any podcast app, really with just a couple of API calls. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think so. What it'll be, if this works out the way we think it will, what it'll be is a Lightning app. A Lightning wallet provided by a Lightning wallet provider. And so then there's an API that you could hook into that just says, tells the podcast app basics, some basic stuff about what's in the wallet, like your balance, an address book type deal. It's a couple of bare bones things. And so really all the podcast app would have to do is just call the API, maybe set up a new wallet for somebody who doesn't have one. And these are all just some simple API calls, and all the heavy lifting is done on the provider side. Then all the app is doing, the podcast app is doing, is as you listen, it just pings periodically to the wallet provider and says, hey, this person's wallet needs to send this many sats to
these
addresses. Or probably what's going to happen more likely is it'll say, there needs to be a send. And this is what I was thinking about over the weekend. There needs to be a send. A payout needs to happen. And you call it something like, there's an API ping where that podcast app says, okay, trigger a payout, a per minute payout for this feed ID. And then the Lightning wallet provider has linkage to the podcast index, which will say, okay, that feed ID represents these addresses.
Right.
And then it does the payout.
Right.
Because what you don't want, okay, well, let me step back. Because what you, from the podcast apps app developer side, this makes it where they don't have to bake any Lightning stuff in.
Right.
It's
2 days worth of work.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's just, yeah, the user interface side will be harder than the actual implementation of the Lightning stuff side.
Right.
So, and then, but the reason it would not do direct address sends from the app and is because the podcast index has all the addresses and everything in there because we're aggregating the actual feed.
Yeah, we have the current split information.
Yeah, exactly. And we're doing some verification, like we don't take value blocks from feeds that aren't HTTPS.
Right.
Things like that, because so we are sort of like, what you want is a trusted source so that you make sure that an app is not going to go rogue and just decide to drain your wallet to some God knows where.
Right.
So really so the only action the app can take is to tell the Lightning wallet provider to send a payment into this feed. And then at that point, that feed gets verified that it's legit and that the addresses match what we have, and then it triggers it. I think that's the safest way to do it.
Yeah, I like how I know you thought about that. You've been thinking about that. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, there was some, we were talking about it last week, and you know, when this came up, and there's something that was bugging me about it because I kept drawing it out on paper, trying to figure out how the linkage would work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the missing piece, is that I think the thing that was bugging me is that there was too much potential control on the app side to do what they want.
Right.
And, which you really, you know, that's sketchy.
It can be. Yeah, it can be. I like this. I like how you separated this. And from the user experience side, the way it will probably work is, you bring up a page or something. There's a better way to do it on mobile, I think. But in general, you'd have this Lightning provider wallet. You scan a QR code, and immediately you've verified and linked your Lightning wallet to that app. Mm-hmm. And then you could start using the interface. And we can also do Boost then as well.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Super easy. Yeah, super easy. Mm-hmm. And we can send, in the memo field, you send the time code.
Yeah, see, and that lets you have, so for people who may not be following all of this, but you understand the whole Sphinx model, think about Sphinx and the way it's set up. So currently, if you have a Sphinx tribe and you host a podcast through your Sphinx tribe, by default, your Sphinx node is the receiver of all the per minute SaaS that you stream.
Right.
So this would make it where, let's just say you have a Sphinx tribe and that's your node. That Sphinx tribe, your Sphinx Lightning node is your node. You don't have your own personal one off-site somewhere. You could then just list your Sphinx node in your value block in your feed,
right?
And then these other apps that are out there that are going to become Lightning enabled, this other way that we were talking about, they can see, because the index lists that, they can see that happen, and then all those payments from these other apps will just continue to go back to your Sphinx node, because the Sphinx node really is just a Lightning node, and it can accept payments. So you can sort of keep your home base on Sphinx if you like that, with your tribe and your chat and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the Lightning network, is that any node can talk to each other. There's no barriers there. There's no siloing. So you could move your node offsite if you wanted to, but you could also just stay as Sphinx. You've already got maybe, 100 followers on your Sphinx tribe. I mean, you don't want to ditch that and go to some other provider for your node. So you just stay there and then redirect everything back to your Sphinx node. And this other app now is streaming back to that too. And that also, if the Sphinx guys would do integration with chat, maybe somehow that could link back in.
Oh, we could have a bridge.
Yeah, like an IRC bridge, maybe.
With their relay software.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I love this. And, we have such forward motion. We got momentum on this. And I love seeing, people collaborating and thinking about it. So, here we go. There's a lot of work left to be done. And we can do whatever the hell we want. We can turn left or right whenever we want.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. I wonder if they could do that, because Sphinx could easily integrate with IRC.
Sure.
I don't mean, I say easily. I don't mean that. I mean, that's,
you, that quotes, you had your, right? You had your developer hat on. Yeah, I heard you.
Right.
It's easy.
I bet that'd be a fun project for somebody.
Definitely.
To write some sort of bridge over there to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're basically, you have a window into your Sphinx world. I mean, I know there's encryption and all that kind of stuff. I'm just dreaming.
But. Well, to bring it all around to, is independent podcasting peaking? No.
We were talking about stats, weren't we?
Yeah. Well, so we're just getting started on it. Just getting started. So I don't think so at all. And the only thing we've been missing is great app experiences and a value flow. So we're solving mm-hmm. these issues. And once we have this, if we get one of these wallet providers integrated, it can scale pretty quick. And then it's just a matter of saying, oh, hey, do this. The Sphinx stuff is fantastic for, I see that as a lot of future in there. I'm very enamored with running stuff over the blockchain. No secret there.
Yeah.
But we can scale up and get people going really quick. And yeah, if, they, if there were an IRC bridge from the Sphinx chat, oh my goodness.
Well, I was messaging you about the stats stuff the other day, and you said your response was that you can't spell stats without sats.
Yeah, exactly. well, that's the other thing is if we just come around to the stats talk, what a great anonymous, well, it's kind of an attribution tracking system, but it's completely anonymous, which for real, completely anonymous.
Yeah.
The caveats for obviously, because there's all kinds of ways to track people doing all kinds of stuff. But in general, having an actual listen time and having it individualized by each listener is incredibly valuable.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. And that's, you know, it's probably easier with the API method from an app than it is even with Sphinx, because then you have, you know, then the apps.
How about this? Yeah, the app could provide stats to the feed owner.
Okay, well, that's a good way to get. that's a good segue into this idea.
Okay, good.
Actually, I brought the IB sheet here.
By the way, for those of you who've been following our sexy namespace talk and talk of Bitcoin, ever since we started this, Bitcoin has now effectively doubled. Yeah, it surged through 23,000. I mean, it's no coincidence that this is because of podcasting. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, I need a GIF of us on top of a Bitcoin shooting to the moon or something like that.
Yes, precisely.
So I'm looking at the IAB 2.1 spec. And like I said, or like I began to say earlier, I'm not. This has nothing to, you know, I'm not criticizing the IAB at all. That's not the goal here. But the definite, it says, I just kind of some stuff stood out to me. It says podcast offer advertisers a hyper-focused audience that chooses to listen to that content. Podcast listeners have been shown to be the most loyal and engaged audience of any digital medium. That's 100% right.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. And so the IAB spec, this is 2.1 that I'm looking at, says, this document offers a set of metrics that establish a mutual understanding in podcast advertising negotiations. Let's see. And for the foreseeable future, log-based measurement is the only way to achieve comprehensive measurement of all podcast usage. So that's the way this stuff works. This is all these podcast stats, download metrics and those kind of things are all done based on basically grepping the logs is what it is.
Very little has changed in 25 years. we're still grepping the logs, everybody.
It's just the regexes are different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it says currently less than 3% of the market share enables client-side tracking as it exists in other forms in digital advertising. So you essentially have less than 3% of the podcast application of the podcast apps have any sort of client side tracking that expose back to advertisers.
Sure.
So it's essentially zero.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Apple is the only one that I know that does any of that.
Yeah. So you have, what you have is a system where there's hardly any stats to be given back from the player side. And then, so what you're left with is trying to grep stats out of the logs. And this gives you a situation where people gamify it like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to talk about who I talked to this past couple of weeks, but if you move from host to host, let's say you started out at Libsyn and then you moved your podcast.
Yeah, you lose all your stats.
Captivate, and then you moved it to Blueberry. Well, you not only lose your stats, you don't just lose them; they're completely different.
Oh yeah, so, the presentation, like, everything. Yeah, of course.
The numbers. Let's say okay. Let's say that you took, you know for a fact that you moved 99% of your audience from your feed at Acast over to your feed at Libsyn.
Mm-hmm.
When you made the move, you know that your audience followed you, but for some reason, your stats show completely different numbers now than they did on the previous host. And it's because they track numbers differently. Even between IAB compliant hosts, the stats don't come across right all the time. They don't come across matching.
That doesn't surprise me, obviously.
Yeah. And so, and the reason is because everybody treats things slightly different. And so, for instance, there are some bots out there that download a lot of MP3s. You know this because the show notes gets hammered all the time. So there's bots out there that are constantly downloading this stuff. Well, if a bot happens to parse your feed and downloads it, and the user agent string is something like FFmpeg or some bot,
right?
You could, there's hosts that do count that as an IAB compliant download.
Wow. Okay. I can see the discrepancies and where they come from.
Yeah. And so then there's other hosts that say that's not legitimate traffic, so we're going to exclude that from the stats. So each host is making their own decisions about within the confines of the IAB stats rules. There's lots of leeway to make those decisions and then to separate what is an Apple podcast download, what is an Apple Core Media, what's an Android download, all these kinds of things.
Right.
So, and here's another way it was explained to me. Let's just say that you have an office building with you and five of your buddies all sitting in a cube together, and you all listen to the same same podcast.
One NAT address.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's always been the problem.
Yeah, so how do you differentiate this? And so the idea came up that the fix for this, and I think it's brilliant, is for podcast apps to put an extra query parameter on the end of the URL when they download the audio file.
Oh yeah, I read about this on the similar index.
Already.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing something similar with appending, because there's a similar problem with web apps. So like Podfriend, when Podfriend or Podverse shows up in a download stats in a log for a podcast, they show up as like Firefox or Chrome.
Yeah, Chrome, right.
Mm-hmm. And so what we've had to do is put in an extra query parameter on the end of the download that says it's like _ from equal Podfriend.
Got it.
And that way it shows up in the logs that this is not Chrome. This is actually a web app. This is something similar, but it works a little bit different. What you would put on the end of the query, you'd put an additional query parameter on the end of the download that would be something like _ GUID, GUID, equals such and such. And I've already implemented this on the Podcast Index website player. So if you go to the Podcast Index website and click on any and just search for a podcast and play it, it is already doing this. It is attaching the _ GUID to the end of the download URL. So like James Cridlin, if you go check your logs right now for Pod News or Podland, you should be able to find some downloads in your logs with the _ GUID parameter on the end of it.
Right.
And the _ GUID parameter is made this way. When an app wants to play or download a file, you just create a random GUID. it doesn't have to be based on anything. It doesn't have to be the hash of anything. You just create a sufficiently random RFC compliant GUID string. Then you pin it to that download. You pin it to that URL.
Ah, I see.
And so every time that app plays that URL or downloads that URL, it always has the same GUID attached to it. And that tells you exactly how many times each specific person downloaded or played that episode, but without ever compromising any sort of privacy, because the value is completely random and made up.
Yeah, and it goes away.
Yeah. So
let me ask you a question. Is it, mm-hmm. If I come back and I play that podcast again, does it maintain my that ID that we're sending, or does it create a new one for a new session?
No, it's the same one every time.
Okay. No matter what podcast you listen to.
This is per enclosure.
Ah, perfect. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So if every time I play episode 14 of Podcasting 2.0, me, Dave Jones, every time I play that from PodFriend, it's going to send the exact same GUID to our CDN to get that thing. So if you play the same episode, it's going to be a completely different GUID. And when you start playing episode 15, you'll get a new GUID.
But it'll always
be the same for that episode too.
So what you need now is you just need all apps to adhere to that.
Yes, you need all the apps to begin to append, to do that technique and append that string. And then instantly you have perfect stats. Here's the way that it's implemented for the developers. If you want to kind of help me jumpstart the think through on this, is that what we're doing is I've made it where when you hit the play button on a download on the website, when you hit the play button on an episode on the website, it will create a random GUID and then save it in browser local storage with the key being a hash of the URL that's being played, just the enclosure URL, just to make this hashing it, just to make sure that no funky characters get in there because it's a key.
Right.
It's going to make makes a SHA-256 hash, saves that into browser local storage, and the value is that GUID. And so every time you play an episode, it checks first in local storage to see if that value exists. If it does, it just grabs it out of local storage and sticks it on the end. If no value exists, it creates a new one and it sticks it on the end and saves that one in local storage for the future.
Oh, nice. I like it.
So that's how this works. The only time that would ever get screwed up is if somebody clears their local storage, which is not frequent enough to really put that big of a margin of error on it.
Right.
So this is to me, and as we go forward, I would like to push this as we go forward. The person who outlined this technique to me, he's going to write a white paper about it and that kind of thing. And so it'll become even fleshed out more. But this technique to me, I think it solves stats 100%, and it's a completely anonymous. It's not it, to me. It is the proper fix.
Why has no one come up with this before? It seems simple, elegant, easy to implement.
I don't know. That's a good question.
And will IAB look at this and say, hey, finally we got something good? Or
I hope.
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, I hope they will. I mean, because to me, this belongs sort of in the world of the Open Podcast Analytics Working Group.
Yeah.
I feel like those guys would be the proper place for this stuff to land. So the natural question that comes up to me is, yeah, it's not a question. Let me see how to express this. What I think is probably obvious to most people, hopefully it is, that there are plenty of podcasters out there that don't want accurate stats.
Right.
Because they're on the beneficial side of bad stats.
Yeah, this is, you're nailing it with this. Yeah, not everybody wants to actually have the real numbers. It may be disappointing.
Yes. Yeah. And
this, by the way, is always the issue. This is why all these systems exist and why they're closed loop and closely guarded and protected, because no one wants to know the actual numbers.
No. Let's play the Mamano's best thing.
In this episode, we're talking about adjusting to fame. We'll discuss when it all started, how we've dealt with it as a family, and some of the pitfalls that have come along the way. Let's get into it.
Before this episode, a quick question. How do you spend and earn at the same time? With Chase Freedom Unlimited, earn 3% at drugstores and 3% on dining, including takeout and eligible delivery services, plus 5% on...
Does it just keep going with the ad?
No, yeah, keep going.
Travel purchase through Chase. Chase, make more of what's yours. Learn more at chase.com/mamaknowsbest.
Okay.
Wow.
This is my new favorite pod. My new favorite, not a podcast from Spotify.
Yes.
Yeah. Number one, because it's so bad, you know, but I like hearing the ad. So they had an ad for, Chase Bank.
Yeah.
Then followed by Folgers, followed by a McDonald's ad.
Three in a row.
Yeah. So as the resident podcast advertising expert, well, what does that say? Who is your audience? When you have an ad, when you have three ads, when you have Chase Bank, Folgers, and McDonald's, who exactly is your audience?
Chase Bank, Folgers. Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Clearly they have some data on you, Dave, since you're the one that got it. You obviously eat McDonald's, you drink Folgers coffee, and you use Chase Bank.
The only one of those three I've ever done is McDonald's, and that was like 10 years ago. So I'm like, this is a podcast about
chicks, man.
I promise this doesn't. Chicks. This is a podcast about a TikTok superstar, like this 19-year-old girl who's the like number two earner on TikTok. Right. Why is there a Folgers ad in there? I don't get it.
That could be that they're just filling up the inventory that they promised to put out there.
Randomness?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with political ads during this last cycle. The kids were getting, 5-year-old kids were getting Joe Biden commercials before their little Sesame Street or something. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the trickery works on all ends. I mean, I've been in that business long enough to know. Hey, if we can shove some stuff into someone else and it won't really get noticed as not being the demographic, do it.
So here's my pitch. Obviously there is, I can't say obviously because it's not that obvious. Here, my pitch is, if the open podcast ecosystem has accurate stats, it may hurt initially. It may suck for some podcasts where all of a sudden they were reporting, you know, 10 million downloads, and now they've actually got to fess up and report 2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It may hurt, but the alternative for advertisers is that advertisers are in a closed system with somebody like Spotify, where there's potential skullduggery going on, and what you don't exactly know what you're you don't exactly know what you're getting. I mean, like, can you trust those numbers?
I'm shocked. I'm not shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is that this could be a way with accurate stats. I know people are making a lot of money. Some people are making a lot of money on bogus stats, probably. But with accurate stats, it can make the podcast, the open podcast ecosystem, more attractive to advertisers because they feel like they're getting a better, they feel like they're getting a better deal.
Or even direct relationships podcasters have with sponsors for live host reads, which I think is still a lot of the power of a podcast, is how you can promote a product. Mm-hmm. And you can do it quite transparently. But to be able to say, okay, here's how many people are actually listening to that segment, that part of it, not fast forwarding. This has always been a big issue. I think it's a great idea. We should push this. We need to give it a name.
Give it a name.
And push it. And it's at the open, I put their link in the show notes. Is it the Open Podcast Analytics Working Group?
Yeah, they're that, you know, James and a bunch of the hosts are involved.
I smell James all over this.
Yeah.
So, I like it.
Another thing that as the index, I think we, because yes, we are committed to a future without, we were committed to the value for value model, a future without advertising. We see that as a future. We see advertising as censorship, all of that, you know, all that. But also, I mean, I think there's a realization that, and there's a bridge that has to happen between how do I get from where I'm at now to there? Mm-hmm. And you can't necessarily just cut it off. And so there's going to be a coexistence that needs to happen. And the podcast industry is better if the stats aren't a bunch of shenanigans. You know, at the end of that Mama Knows Best thing that was playing. So here's Spotify, who's supposed to have, you know, surgical precision advertising and they're supposed to have all the stats.
Yeah. Well, but now remember that what they're doing is they're linking their user profiles to the stats. So, and they know a lot about a user's musical preference, which they claim tells them a lot about a person, which I believe. I don't know how they break it down, but yeah. So, you know, they have all kinds of cross references to know what's going in there. I've never liked that. I've never liked programmatic ads for this very reason.
Well, my question is, why do they have to throw at the end on the Chase Bank commercial? Why do they have to throw at the very end of that? Find out more at Chase Bank, blah, 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 / Mama Knows Best. Why do they have to get the follow-up confirmation there? Do they not trust the
stats? Oh, that's a good point. Stats? Yeah, it's a good point. You're saying that, well, I guess that's for conversion. I mean, you get the stats, but the conversion to an actual someone going to a service.
Is there a separate deal there that the conversions pay more?
Oh, yes. If someone hears the ad, that's one thing. If they convert and they go there and they identify they heard it on / radio or / TV or / Mama Knows Best. Yeah, that's a conversion fee, and that's better for clear reasons. I like this idea a lot.
Okay.
And I wouldn't mind having it just for myself. And this doesn't have to be an advertising play. I just like to know for myself who's listening where. I mean, I've seen stats on Apple. I enjoyed looking at those. But let's blanket it. Let's get everybody to implement this. This seems relatively easy, something we can all do. And we'll push it really hard. And if IAB doesn't like it, then we'll start our own alternative advertising agency.
Yeah, the PAB.
United Podcasters. Yeah. Podcasters United. The poo. The poo. Poo. And as an addition, if app developers would consider looking at some of these community chapters, this is the main reason I use PodFriend, is that's a whole additional piece of content. If you say, hey, visit the website chasebank.com/mamaknowsbest, that would pop right up in a chapter window with a URL link. Click it right there. Click it, tap it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
These things work.
About conversion.
These things work.
I mean,
it really works.
that's converts right in your face, man. It's like, boom, man. I mean, you can't get any easier than of a convert than that. I mean, if that, because it's right there on the screen.
Interestingly, the podcast app can also start to create its own statistics for things like conversion.
Oh, yeah, true. Because it's because it knows, because it's right
it
there.
Knows, it knows the conversion, yeah.
It knows.
you got some guy in Denmark who knows.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, like there's a lot of, you know, there's I think that the market, the piece of the market that Overcast and Podcast Addict have carved out for themselves are based on a few things, and one of which is privacy. Mm. And they're very privacy focused. Yes. And that's a
good thing.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yes, that's absolutely a good thing. And for that reason, they have resisted the constant calls for them to open up their stats. So this would be a way for those guys not to open up their stats, but still give meaningful intelligence to other podcasters. They don't have to open up anything at all. They just tack that string on the end that's completely anonymized, and that shares in this system so that other podcasts, so that their fellow podcasters can benefit from it.
Yeah.
But without breaking their own, you know, without breaking their own private policy, you know, their own, whatever you
privacy,
want to call
that. Privacy policy.
Yeah. Without violating their integrity. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I think it's, yeah. And, you know, I've already done it. It took me seriously like less than 30 minutes.
Well, we're calling it ops. Anybody can do it. We have a name. It's the Open Podcast Statistics. We're calling it ops.
Ops.
Okay. I just made that up.
Ops GUID. That's the parameter. Ops
yes.
GUID.
The Ops GUID, which has been determined by the Pooh. That's Podcasters United.
Is that the show title? Ops GUID by the Pooh?
No. I put fourth quarter in there. Dumb enough. I come up with my titles beforehand for this show, trying something different. Sad about it now.
No, I like it when you talk sports. It's great.
Ah! hey, let's thank some people.
I was about to say, the ad stuff makes me feel gross.
Yeah, dirty. So now let's thank some people. This is a value for value podcast. The entire project, Podcast Index, is value for value. Doubtful there will be enough for Dave and I and anyone to take a salary, although it would be great as we move forward. In the meantime, we like keeping everything running. And the way it works is if you get any value out of this podcast, but out of what Podcast Index is doing, as we continue to preserve podcasting as a platform for free speech and retool it into a platform of value for all participants, for the entire ecosystem, and I should say uninterruptible value, we need help. And we need help by you supporting the entire project. And you can do that by going to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a big red donate button. You can also donate through a Lightning app. And, well, we had a sad puppy on the last show.
Oh, the sad puppy was gold. I mean, it was like...
So, yeah, in our... When we were talking about only two donations that came in, and yeah. Boom, up on the chapter image is a sad puppy giving us that look. Like, oh, no.
Sad puppy sent a tremor through the force. And like, I mean, yeah, there is like so many donations this week. It's been fantastic.
Oh, cool. Worked. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Well, this is, yeah, you just need to remind people. It's what I always say. Just need to remind people.
Okay. Whenever, look, people, whenever donations go down, you're going to get the guilty puppy.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Sad puppy's going to pop out. Yeah. Now we need a little Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell who's happy and flying around if we have donations.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of them, and some good ones, too. So the first one is from RSS.com, Benjamin Richardson.
Oh, who helped us already with a Pod News sponsorship, which was fantastic.
Yeah, well, he followed it up in a big way. $1,075 donation.
Whoa! Holy moly!
Doesn't that deserve a podcaster cool ISO?
Does it deserve what?
A podcast are cool ISO? I mean, that's...
Oh, yes. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Podcasts are cool.
Podcasts are cool. Wow. Did he have a note? Did he say anything?
Yeah, he's got a note. Yeah. Yeah, I made sure it was okay to read. He said, Dave and Adam, this is given in appreciation for the hard work and foresight Podcast Index represents. We're excited for the future because of the work being done in the present. Thank you for your leadership and dedication. A special thanks to all those folks in the trenches making it happen. Without the time and talent of Martin, James, Tom, CSB, Kevin, and many others, we know this wouldn't be in, this wouldn't be anywhere.
Oh,
here's to 2021 and all the possibility it holds. Your friends at RSS.com. P.S. We put some extra money in there so you guys can have a drink on us. You deserve it. Cheers.
Oh, it's the $75 for drinking.
Yeah, man.
Woo! That's really nice. That's humbling. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. And I emailed him back. I was like, hey, like,
did you we want to buy a you a drink. Did you slip a digit, fat finger this? What happened?
Yeah. Like, we want to buy you a drink. Let's make that happen.
Thank you. Anyway. Thank you, Rob. Very kind.
Thank you so
much. RSS.com.
And we're going to have those guys on the show in January.
Yeah, I saw the booking. You're like producing this thing now, man.
No, I'm
you're doing everything. You got the crumple notes. You're booking the guests. You've got the one-liners. You're the man.
Do you need me to leave some stuff for you? Because you know how much you do.
It's okay. I hit record.
Okay. let's see. We got another one. This is from Dreb Scott.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said his note was answering the call. Keep up the great work. And he donated $333.33.
Oh, Dreb Scott, he's doing chapters for us already. He's doing chapters for No Agenda. I mean, this guy is phenomenal.
Do we have him? Are we going to get him like a Sphinx note so he can get some cut in?
Yeah, I'm getting a whole bunch of Sphinx node codes from Paul so I can start handing them out. They're working on spinning up a crap ton of nodes. And
I tried to create one this morning and it said delayed.
No, it's all delayed. And it's probably a bad time right now. Starting up these nodes, channels have to be created, so it takes some on-chain to off-chain processing.
Okay.
And that it costs a little much now with the fees are high at this moment.
Oh yeah, like
there's a lot of stuff in the mempool. He said, sounding like he knows what the hell he's talking about.
I don't even know what a mempool is. So
yeah, trust me, you don't.
that's the backlog of transactions waiting to take place, right?
Well, it's stuff competing to get into the block.
That's right. Okay, so it's back. The higher the mempool backlog, the higher the transaction fees because people are wanting to get
they want to get confirmed. In. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's Dreb Scott. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dreb. And he's doing the chapters and doing a great job. That's what I saw. Someone else was trying to integrate or something else. I don't know. Anyway, I got to catch up. I get so behind. On Thursday, I just can't catch up. Because I'm doing the show, and I get behind. It's like, oh, man, what's been going on? Who are you talking about?
Yeah, you get lost.
Yeah.
Let's see. This one is... Okay, so what's the naming protocol here? This is from Sir Dude Named Ben, Defender of Megawatts. This donation is from... Should I use his real name, too? Or just keep him Sir Dude Named Ben.
Yeah, Sir Dude Named Ben. Yeah, that's probably better.
Okay. All right. So this is from Sir Dude Named Ben, $100. And he says, keep free speech alive. We need it now more than ever. Sir Dude Named Ben, Defender of Megawatts.
Ah, thank you. The megawatts feel good.
Yeah. This is a good... It makes you feel good when everybody... jumps in there and just gives you, it's not just the donations, it's the notes.
It's the notes, of course. It's the beauty of the model, man. You could be reading a note that goes, buy gold now! Or, motherfucking Cash App! Or,
or Casper Mattress ad. Or
that's right. Hey, you know, for Christmas, I got Dave a pair of Tommy Johns. because I want Dave to be comfortable when he's podcasting.
Yeah, I'm wearing them all the time. It's my favorite underwear now or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. See, that's the part of my model I forgot to put in, how we need to change the podcast. We got to throw in a native ad.
Once in a while, got to do it. Got to do it.
That we don't disclose. Yes. So, Benjamin Bellamy from Castapod gave us a donation. $45.70.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he says, congratulations for what you've accomplished in 2020. Locked, funding, transcript, chapter, soundbite, previous URL, ID, value, and Castapod has them all.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Castapod is a very interesting product. If you want to self-host, that's the way to go, man. That thing's got a badass dashboard, and he would probably be interested in the stats conversation as well.
Man, knowing how fast he put stuff in there is probably going to be done by the end of today.
That's the crazy thing. Is like when you're dealing with, I'll just call them the web guys, they're able to do stuff so quickly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like with Hypercatcher, which I really like that app. I think it's of the apps, it's very advanced, certainly with its chapters and the feedback loop, which I love. You know, he's got to put it in for another update, and it's just, oof. It's painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a couple of guys, buddies I ate dinner with on Wednesday, and hadn't seen them in a while, so we were catching up, and I was telling them about the index and all the stuff we were doing, and they're both Android guys, and so they were like, I was like, what? One of these guys runs a podcast, and I said, well, you know, you need to get on Sphinx, and I was, you know, I said, I'll set you up a node and all this stuff, and he was like, what podcast app should I be using as my main app or whatever? I said, what do you have now? And he's like, Stitcher. I was like, ooh.
Oh, no.
No. Get off that. And I was like, okay, you need to go.
You need to upgrade.
Yeah. So I had him go get Hypercatcher. And they were like, oh, this is cool. I was showing him the chapters and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. Not Hypercatcher. Podcast Addict.
Oh, okay. Also nice. Yeah,
Hypercatcher is only on iOS, yeah. They're both Android guys. Let's see. Benjamin said, congratulations for what you accomplished in 2020. Locked funding, transcript, chapters, soundbite, previous URL, ID, value, and Castapod has them all. We're already working on podcast location. I can't wait to see you guys, what you guys will bring in 2021. We have a few surprises for you as well. Oh,
okay. All right. Nice.
Surprises,
we like,
man.
We like surprises.
He says, thank you. Really, I mean it. From Castapod, Benjamin Bellman.
Thank you, Castapod. Benjamin, fantastic. Thank you.
Yes, awesome. Let's see.
And a reminder for those of you on Sphinx chat, if you haven't pegged that value slider, you better do it right now.
All the way up. All time
all
high.
All the way to the top, please.
ATH. Okay, so we got a donation from, Cameron White, and he just says, for $33.33, and he just says, no note, exclamation point.
All right, thank you very much. Magic numbers all around. Love it.
That exclamation point was not actually in there. That was editorialized. Okay.
Thanks.
Trying to make sure this. Nope, that's not anonymous. Okay, so David Langford gave us a $20.02 donation.
Oh, and he, palindrome.
The next one is $20. So he barely edged out the next donation.
But
by
he did
two
it.
Cents.
He did it. He did it.
Yeah, it's like he knew it. It's like he knew what he was doing.
Was there a note?
Let's see. Yes. Long note. I want. This is David Langford. I wonder if maybe you're thinking too small with podcasting 2.0. I've been listening to, and you're going to tell me if you recognize any of these names, because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to an indie pop singer-songwriter, Mindy Gledhill. Ring a bell?
No.
Okay, not me either. I've been listening to an indie pop singer-songwriter, Mindy Gledhill, a lot lately. Her Rabbit Hole album has been helping me go through my faith crisis, turned existential crisis, turned divorce. Yes, I had already paid the $12 for her MP3 album from Amazon Music, but I wanted to send her some extra value for the value of her music, her value her music has been giving to me. Guess what? There's no mechanism to give music artists more money.
There you go.
And they aren't touring right now. I had to internet stalk her and send her a check in the mail. I hope it's the correct address. Wow.
Huh.
But I was thinking about your Lightning Bitcoin payment system for podcasters. Couldn't you do the same thing for musicians?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And to reiterate, I think this is where this whole value block comes in. If we look at the basic mechanism of an RSS feed in an odd way, if you put an album in there and we had the per episode splits, you could actually do the royalty payments for anyone who worked on the song, the writing, the composing, down to musicians, down to the tape op, if you want, the engineer. And they can get payments for every single time someone listens to it. Absolutely.
Per track.
Yeah, I see a lot of possibility for this system. It is not, in my mind, none of it is regulated to it has to be a show or anything like that. If you want to use this mechanism, please. It's perfect for it.
Yeah, I mean, you could go per track.
And you could do your bonuses. You know, you can boost some extra sats. Like, oh, I like this lyric in the song. I like this. Boost it right there.
So I didn't know. Evidently, Dolly Parton has like the greatest publicist ever because she is all over the place right now.
Well, Dolly Parton is an American institution.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a PR push for her going on right now that's just off the chain.
She probably has a Christmas special.
Yeah, I saw a documentary of her a few weeks ago, and I didn't realize that one of her big songs where she first sort of broke out of country and went crossover, I can't remember the name. It's of course, popular, but...
Jolene?
No, it wasn't Jolene, because she wrote that one. This is one that she didn't write, but people think
Nine to Five?
No, she wrote that one too.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of songs I know that she didn't write.
That's why they drew attention to this one, is because this particular song, everybody thinks she wrote it, but she didn't. It was somebody else.
Hmm.
But she picked it because it was like her first crossover non-country hit. And so she specifically chose it to kind of get a feel for what that would be like. And
I'm reading through the Wikipedia now. All I Can Do was the album, and let's see, what was the big hit from that? She had Sandy Gallen as her manager. Sandy Gallen is a legendary. Now that's not a publicist, but Sandy Gallen knows everybody.
He's the guy from New York, right?
I don't even know if Sandy's a guy or a gal. Honestly, the name is super, super well known. I'm trying to think. It wasn't the stuff she did with Emmylou Harris.
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't that. This was, this was maybe late
70s? My Girl, Higher and Higher. No, 76 probably.
Mm-hmm.
Heartbreaker? Like Heartbreaker? Here You Come Again. How about that one?
Yeah,
here
that's
you
it.
Come
that's,
again. There yep, you go.
That's it. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it was, that one was not written by her.
Oh.
And so this is a long way of saying that you could give royalties to the writer per track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can split that thing out any way you want to. That was a long way of talking about Lightning.
I'm glad we did that, though.
Yeah. More from David Langford. He says, can you do the same thing for musicians? Yes, you can. Treat each artist like a podcast and each song like an episode.
You bet. Each season like an album.
Yep. I think you should fly to Provo, Utah and have a meeting with Mindy about getting indie pop artists on board with music streaming 2.0. Love you, mean it, David Langford, Wyoming.
Love you, mean it. And thanks for the note, man. I hope everything's okay. I'm glad Mindy was able to help you through the hard times. That's what music does. Podcasts do it, too, for lots of people.
If anybody wants to fly me to Provo, Utah, I'm game, just saying. I won't turn that down.
Okay.
Do you know Utah, the state with the highest percentage of swingers in the whole country?
Yes, that has been a no agenda topic. Thanks for reminding me.
Oh, is it no agenda topic? Okay.
Dvorak knows these kinds of stats for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Also always very well represented on the Pornhub stats too. When they break it down yes, by state.
It's true.
Let's see. The last one is anonymous. A single donation for $20. And he just says, no shout out needed. Just want to support your efforts. Thank you for your courage.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you for your courage. Yes. Great. Value for value. That's how it works. All you got. And we're pretty darn transparent. There's our income. It's been a good week, though. This was fantastic, especially with the was Benjamin at RSS.com?
Yeah.
That's very, very much appreciated. But it doesn't matter how much it is. It's the value that you attribute to it that we appreciate. And for the entire podcastindex.org project, which, as Benjamin already alluded to in his note, it's a whole lot of people contributing their time, their talent, and their treasure. If you got some treasure to part with, and we really appreciate it, podcastindex.org, scroll down to the bottom. There's the big red donate button. Yeah, smash that. And I think also, if you have a funding tag compliant, Podcasting 2.0 compliant podcast app, there should be a little donate button in the app right now, which pops up.
Smash that too.
Smash it. Smash that.
We got for that. This. For the time being, we are making more revenue on this podcast than Prince Harry and Meghan because they hadn't started their shit.
Not allowed to use the Royal Highness monikers, but I think Spotify is ignoring that and just using it. We'll see. We'll see how long before that, just like the Michelle Obama podcast, has to be opened up. And will show up in the index.
Yeah.
It won't take long. There was a Guardian article that I just wanted to touch on briefly called Sinister Sounds. Podcasts are becoming the new medium of misinformation, with a big picture of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
A-holes.
Like, the insinuation, the guilt by association is so gross.
It truly is. And what this article is saying, and they highlight a couple of podcasts, some that I listen to, coincidentally. And they say, well, this is a problem. You know, we don't have this. They're literally saying, and who wrote this article? Ariel Bogle. Ariel Bogle is really calling for more gatekeepers and more ways to shut people down who speak bad. It is the antithesis of this entire project. And I'll go to the what should be done. Better and more moderation is only a partial answer to a more difficult question. They don't really have an... Ariel doesn't really have a conclusion there about what really should be done. But it's about moderate. But ultimately, it's about the content has to be moderated. We have to have trusted sources to moderate the content. Well, I disagree. I mean, we are the trusted source, so you know that what shows up in podcastindex.org is 100% not moderated. That's what you want to know. And if you want to create some moderated thing, then go to podcastindex.org, sign up as a developer, and create a query so you get only the podcast that you approve, or an exclusionary one. If you need any extra API calls, we'll help you out. But man, you're selling yourself short. You really are. Yeah. You're selling yourself short. Oh goodness. Yeah.
If you want to screw over your customers, I mean, we'll help you do it, I guess. But yeah. I mean, it's not going to be any fun. My answer to that whole thing is Matt Taibbi's article. Did you read his article about the YouTube ban?
No, I didn't. No, I missed it.
No, it was really good. And his comment was, you know, because
I did see it come through in Substack. It was all about canceling, wasn't it? It wasn't just about YouTube, or was it about?
Yeah, it was about YouTube's blog post where they said they were going to ban any election
misinformation about the vaccine, any of that.
Yeah, and this line got me. He said, if you want a population of people to stop thinking an election was stolen from them, it's hard to think of a worse method than ordering a news blackout after it's just been demonstrated that the last major blackout was a fraud.
Yeah.
It's like, he's absolutely right. Well, if you want people to stop believing that like your if you think there's a certain category of information that is quote unquote misinformation, the worst thing to do to try to fix it is to moderate it and ban it or remove it. It's like trying to tell your daughter that she can't date some guy.
Yeah, that always works out really well. Yeah, that works out.
Yeah. Me and your mom disapprove of John, you know, or whatever. Oh, I mean, she's going to run off with John immediately.
Yeah. Out the window. Yeah. Well, we're against that. That's why we created it. Mission number one, very much achieved. Preserve podcasting as a platform for free speech. There's no feed that we'll push out. Everything is welcome. Yeah. All as long as it's valid XML, we're good to go on all that. And we continue our quest in retooling podcasting as an uninterruptible supply of value to the entire ecosystem. And we'll have more next week, no doubt. There'll be all kinds of. Wait a minute, is that Christmas?
Yeah, we're going to be recording early so that we can. So we can do a drop on Christmas Day.
What were we doing again? Do I have that in my? Do I have that? Do I have you on my schedule? Let me see.
Yeah,
I'm so busy these days.
Let me check with your guy.
Yeah, let me see. I have.
We're recording early with James and Sam Sethi, I think.
Yeah, what day are we doing that on?
I think it's Tuesday.
Tuesday,
22nd.
I think that's it. I'll make sure I have it in my calendar.
Did I not send it to you? Oh, shoot.
No, maybe I got confused. We'll make sure it happens.
Because that's the one we're doing. His time zone's Australia, so we're going to be recording the 22nd.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it'll be the 23rd for him, yeah.
Yeah, 23rd of 2021. He's actually a whole year ahead. It's crazy, those Australians.
Yeah. Right. We're gonna record with him. And then he wants us to stick around for a bit and record. They want to interview us for Podland.
Ooh, so sexy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All but right. Then we'll do that. We're doing that one on, and then that'll come out on Christmas Day. And then we'll do, the next week is New Year's Day.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do it. Okay.
So we're going to do another Tuesday.
I'm excited. I'm excited to talk with James. I'm very excited to see what he's got going on.
Mm-hmm. We don't stop for Christmas, folks.
we really don't. We just keep pushing ahead. What else is on deck? Do we have any other business to take care of? Any other namespace talk? Before I do anything, please tell us where we can find Frederick's podcast that is featuring the one and only Mr. Dave Jones. Because I say Frederick's podcast, but I should actually put it in the show notes. What's it called again, the podcast?
Cod Snack.
Yeah,
K-O-D-S-N-A-C-K.
Yeah.
Christopher Isine posted what it meant, but I can't remember what he said.
It's like Swedish, like too. A little snack.
Is that what it is?
I thought so.
Sounds good to me. Let's go with that.
I saw the translation somewhere as well. Okay, Cod Snack. I'm going to put that in right now. Cod Snack. Make sure that's in the show notes. Is this a change? Is this something different that happened to the website?
For what?
I don't know. It just seems spiffy. Maybe it's because I'm on desktop right now. It looks so good.
Oh, it does look good. Yeah.
Really looks nice.
We did some changes to, or I say we, Drunk Plato did some changes to it and pushed it. He just restructured the back end to make it easier to maintain going forward, and it did make it a lot better because I made those changes with the GUID, the stats GUID, and it was a lot easier to handle. So I'm thankful he did that. It didn't change the way it looks or functions, but on the backside, it made it a lot easier to foot with.
I just think it's kick ass looking. I like the whole thing.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, it really
we got to
does.
Make the developer site look like that because the API dev site looks like garbage.
Let me see, developer. Yeah,
the api.podcastindex.org looks like crap.
It's not much there, is there?
It ain't nice.
Oh, man. All right, anything else I can do for you, Dave? How can I make your life easier?
Oh, no, I'm good. I just, I'm having fun just thinking about stats.
I'm having fun thinking about sats.
Sat.
Hello, okay, everybody. Well, it's Sats and Stats. You can't spell stats without Sats. You got it.
That's right.
Special thanks to Rolfi. Rolfi, who created a little end of show mix for us.
He does cast coverage, right?
I'm sorry. Rolfi does cast coverage, castcoverage.com, which also has rotating chapter images. We saw a demo of that the other day. Looks very cool.
Yeah.
And
I'm jazzed. We got some end of show mix.
Yeah, he's got too much time on his hands. It's fantastic. I love this. All right, everybody. We will be back again with the Friday show. It'll be done a little bit earlier, as you heard, and we'll have James Cridlin on from Pod News. So that should be super exciting. And we'll have lots of things to talk about. We'll unveil which host is supporting the tags this week. Everything all coming up. And Dave, have yourself a great weekend, man.
All right, man. You too. Have a good one.
Yes. As we get ready for Christmas, we're continuing to work on podcasting 2.0. We'll see you next week, everybody, right here. Till then, bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Hit play cast coverage, I'm Not Ashamed.
And I'm going to tell the whole world, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Nice.
Woo! Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I did a drop, 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 drop. Drop, 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 drop. Cut it up, man. Drop, 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 drop.
Fast, fast. Jeez, what's going on with this speed, people?
Drop.
Fast, fast. Fast.
Drop, 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 drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop.
It feels good. It's like serotonin stuff is firing in my brain. I feel good about it. I have not been this excited since I first used Gopher.
Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop. Top to bottom, we got the full stack, man. Laser precision surgical. Drop.
We have to be fearless and we have to move ahead with big brass balls.
Drop.
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 Podcasts are cool.